If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. I am loving the NBA playoffs, Morgan Reagan.
Same. It's been a lot of fun.
Morgan's face, just for you audio people, is in a different spot right now.
It is.
And I know they can't see it, but I can see it. And I just looked at you, and it's kind of distracting.
All the red.
Her face is red. The other day, flaky. Like, literally.
Well, so I got a chemical peel. Yeah, so dead skin, like, flaking off, you know, super cute. And then today, I'm like, whoa, I'm a little red. I'm like, what's happening? And I reached out to the skin people, and they're like, you're probably actually having an allergic reaction. I'm like, great. So my skin's a little bit more sensitive than we thought, but hopefully in, like, 3 days from now, it's like a baby's bottom.
It's hard to, like, imagine that.
Not a rashy baby's bottom.
Yeah, because right now, it looks like a baby's bottom that's in... a lot of trouble.
Yeah, like a lot of poop in the diaper. Like,
time to go to the doctor, or we got to take the baby in.
Okay.
Morgan, the playoffs have been so fun to watch. It's been tough, obviously, with the Kings not in it, but we are producing content left and right because, like, we love watching basketball. I'm thinking back to this weekend of games and everything that went down. We had the Game 7 between the Cavs and the Magic that... it looked like Orlando was like, they're going to run away with it. Banchero's first half. And then the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell, their defense was amazing. They ended up winning in game 7 to advance to take on the Celtics. You think about what the Mavs did to the Clippers the other night.
Oh, yeah.
The awesome game 1 we saw between the T-Wolves and the Nuggets that the Wolves won.
Yep.
And then we were locked into WNBA preseason basketball with Caitlin Clark. Out of all those moments, do you have, like, one favorite moment of the weekend?
Ooh, that's so tough because there's so many moments from, like, Kyrie Irving, like, from individuals. Like, Kyrie Irving in that Mavs-Clippers game, especially what he was doing on the defensive end and taking a different step in his defense. And then you go to that WNBA preseason game, and you're like, okay, coming in for Caitlin Clark, leaving going, holy shit, Arika Ogunbowale.
Yeah.
And it's just like she ended up having the game winner over the Indiana Fever. And it was just this, one of those cold moments where you're just like, okay, this is why we watch all basketball. So, no, it was just a really fun weekend of basketball.
Yeah, so we're going to recap some of it. Let's start first with Minnesota and Denver. Nothing normal about your face, and there is nothing normal about Anthony Edwards in game 1. T-Wolves, great Nuggets in Denver. Minnesota takes game 1, 106-99. We just caught up on the game. I'm blown away by this guy. It's getting to a level of disgusting with his play. We know what he does offensively, but what he's doing defensively now, and they're not hiding him. Uh-huh. He's taking on Jamal Murray. He's taking on the best matchups out there What stood out to you about Anthony Edwards just in this game?
And you say taking on, it's like, it never even feels like this huge challenge for him. Like, it just looks like he belongs on some of the best players in the game on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, how many times did Reggie Miller ask Jamal Crawford on the broadcast, all right, Jamal, is this the best two-way player in the game right now at 22 years old? And sure, you can be a little prisoner of the moment with this, but holy shit, he's the one in the postseason, in the playoffs, that is actually doing this and doing it at such a high level on both ends. I mean, what? When you're finishing on the offensive end with a 43-point game, but again, it's him setting the tone from the start in that first quarter, just with the way he was scoring, his ability to get to the basket, and just putting a lot of points on the board for his team.
Did it efficiently to 17 of 29, 6-6 at the free throw line, playing some great defense, and when they were throwing blitzes at him in the fourth quarter, making the right plays. I'm just blown away by his jump this year, and now you're seeing it in big games, and I don't think there's been a team in the playoffs who's played better than Minnesota from what they did to Phoenix. And now I'm sort of going and winning a game one in Denver. That's not easy against the defending champions. And they look like they belong. Anthony Edwards looks like he belongs. He doesn't get rattled.
Nope.
He plays defense. He leads, stays composed, can hit big shots, impossible shots, turnaround jumpers. That one he had in the corner with Reggie Jackson defending him, putting it on the floor and somehow finishing it. Got the technical for taunting. Thank what a you. Joke that was.
Well, thank you for mentioning that because it shouldn't have been a technical. And obviously the NBA ended up rescinding it anyway the next day. So, it was a ridiculous shot and even better loving the way that he put to motions behind it. But how about this sequence right here? When I forget how it happened, he scrambled, had to come over on Michael Porter Jr., who was going up for an easy layup, I guess you could call it. And he kind of went up soft. Ant blocks the shit out of it. They push it the other way for Cat and one dunk.
I remember that play. It was a couple staggered screens that he had to fight through. So he ended up Ant actually got switched on to Jokic, but Porter was driving. Mm-hmm. He peels off Jokic and goes up, blocks the shit out of him. Cat goes the other way with a monster and one dunk. So yeah, he made plays on both ends, and it's like the rest of the league should be scared of this guy when you're seeing him at 22 years old doing these things. And, you know, the MJ stuff keeps getting brought up, and at first it was like this funny joke, like, hey, they kind of look alike. Hey, you kind of see their game a little bit. Now people are going, hey, he's actually really good, and he's still really young, and he's doing it on both ends. So if you're Minnesota, you have to be really fired up about what he did in game one, what the team did in game one.
Yeah.
You were just talking about being prisoner of the moment, and we just finished this game. My first probably overreaction, and I'm sure Denver fans will come at me in the comments. I'm just like, I think Minnesota just has more bodies. They've got the length. They've got the size. They have defensive versatility. I think they've got more than this Denver team, and I'm not acting like this is going to be a sweep. I still think it's going to be a great series, but I watched that game one going, I just think they're the better team. Is that crazy?
It's not crazy to say. I do believe it's a little bit prisoner of the moment because, you know, game two, Jokic, Murray, all of them come out with a special game. Michael Porter Jr. is hitting every single shot. Aaron Gordon, whoever, and they're having a special game. You're flip-flopping because we've seen that special type of play from them. And how many times this entire season have you mentioned, man, I just don't know if Denver has the depth though, right? And we say that because as soon as you see Minnesota go small, which is taking out Gobert and taking out Cat, it doesn't mean that they're small. It just means that they're more like the average size team in the NBA, right? And so their ability to be able to just have so much diversity with their roster can really screw with teams, and especially in a postseason especially when you are Denver and you don't get to just go down the bench. You have to play Jokic 40 plus minutes every single game. And if it gets to a game seven, you're going, holy shit, can he hang?
Yeah, and they have a lot of different guys that could throw at Jokic. And they had Kat on him most of the game. I thought Kat did a pretty good job. Look, Jokic is still going to get his. He's the league's best player. Mm-hmm. But I thought the size of Minnesota impacted this game in a big time way, which isn't totally a surprise. I think the thing that concerns me with Denver right now is just Jamal Murray's health. The calf issue that he's been dealing with, he's, you know, post game, not trying to make excuses about it. It's clear he doesn't seem like he's totally right out there.
Yeah.
And KCP's been a little banged up.
Yeah.
Well, like you just said, they don't have the scoring off the bench to make up if those guys can't bring it like they need. You know, even Michael Porter in this game, he had 20 points. It just felt like he had to work really hard at times to get those 20 points.
He did.
Because Minnesota has so many guys who could defend. Nikhil Alexander-Walker defend out there. We've talked so much about Jaden McDaniels, who plays 39 minutes in this game. Goes 0 for 7. He doesn't score, but his impact was felt in a major way.
Yeah.
Whether it was like, hey, we'll switch it up. Ant, go ahead. You're not going to defend Jamal Murray right now. We're going to put Jaden McDaniels on him.
Yeah.
Give him a different look. His impact was felt. That's why you're out there playing 39 minutes when you're 0 for 7.
Yeah, and you look at this team and the roster defensively, like you're kind of saying, going up against this Denver team in this matchup, you have so many guys that have taken leaps in their defensive ability or in their defensive mentality, right?
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert, for example, the way that he was coming out at guys, moving along the perimeter. I think there's maybe twice he ended up bailing someone out, just had a bad, like, couldn't control his big ass body while trailing them to the rim or whatever it was. But for the most part, he is moving laterally, staying with guys. And then Kat, his defensive effort as well. I just thought it was tremendous the way that he has been able to keep his head in the game a lot more.
Yep.
And that, when you have someone like Ant that is holding you accountable like a leader and being like, in a post-game presser, yo, we need this guy. When we have this guy out there and when he's not fouling and shit,
we're a team.
You know, like,
he was like, no, you stop fouling. Stop fouling. Defend without fouling. It was great.
Accountable.
And although Kat did get in foul trouble in this game, I thought he played a great game, especially with how he came out in the third quarter, really aggressive offensively, had some beautiful finishes rim, putting the ball on the floor. He's playing controlled basketball right now. And he's, you know, this is not an easy ask when it's like, hey, Kat, we need you to, like, keep up the scoring.
Yeah.
But also, you got to go defend Jokic.
Yeah.
That's, you're asking a lot. And same on the other side, Jokic, you got to deal with, you know, Kat times or Gribble, whoever you have to deal with. You're asking a lot from these guys, and Kat showed up.
And one more thing to add to Kat, you talked about him putting the ball on the floor. I said to you while watching this game, I was like, he looks more confident than ever with his handles. It was the way that he was grabbing a rebound and just pushing up the floor instead of with the pass. He was the one that was like, okay, I'm going to dribble between three guys. And it never felt like, oh, please pass it up. He has confidence there. He's probably worked on that. And then his ability also to rip through, put the ball on the floor, go to the basket, make the right play. Jamal Murray was mentioning this one time when he was going down the left lane. Jamal Crawford on the broadcast was talking about Kat going down the left lane, and he got this and one situation, and what he ended up doing was making his body skinny is what Jamal Crawford kept saying on the broadcast, making him skinny. Oh, he's in a phone booth. And I just thought he did such a great job controlling his body off the dribble, and he's doing things where I don't know if he's just been putting in this work in the offseason, if teammates are making him better, whatever it is, you're right. Like, they look like the scarier team right now.
A couple of good things for Minnesota, too. Naz Reid in the playoffs have not been playing well. In fact, I would say the first like 2.5 quarters of this one, it looked a little shaky for him. And you're like, can he get going? Well, he finishes with 16 points off the bench. 14 of those points came in the fourth quarter.
Huge.
You know, just watching him, it felt like at times his confidence has been shaken a little bit during this playoff run. He had a great year, won Sixth Man of the Year. And you could tell when he started to feel good in this game, is like, got some good looks, knocked it down, and he is playing with force.
Banking threes, making threes, dunking the ball.
Forcing that travel on Jokic on the inbound. He was all fired up.
Yep.
I mean, I thought he had a massive moment in that fourth quarter. And Mike Conley, the vet, with some big shots. He had a double-double in this game, 14 and 10.
It's what you can expect to see from, obviously, Conley, his veteran leadership out there, him just ready for big moments. But giving more love to Naz Reid, you're exactly right. I thought throughout this game, I'm like, what are we really going to see? I saw so many people on social media talking about, what a game for this guy. And so then when we go back and watch it, I'm going, where's this game? The game was in the fourth, and it was when they needed it most.
Yeah.
And that is what made it so special. So you want to talk about big moments and being ready for that. The Sixth Man of the Year was ready for that in that fourth quarter, just coming up big.
In the start of the fourth quarter, Jokic is on the bench. Mm-hmm. So Denver, with their smaller lineup, I felt Naz Reid was like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of that. And then when Jokic, he had to deal with Jokic a couple times defensively. And that, again, that's a tough matchup. But I thought as his confidence built in that fourth quarter, when he got it going, that second go around in the fourth quarter against Jokic, he played some nice defense as well as you can against a guy like Jokic.
And great coaching job by Chris Finch.
Dude, how bizarre. Chris Finch just sitting there in that one spot, Micah Norrie, his longtime assistant, coaching the game. Yeah. So it's just an interesting dynamic. Anthony Edwards said after the game, I was like, it was kind of the same thing, which is cool. I think they're just locked in as a group right now. Morgan, Jokic tonight, or in that game, 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 steals. He was 11 of 25, 2 of 9 from 3. And when I saw that 2 of 9 from 3, I'm like, that just feels like a lot of threes for Jokic in a game. I look back, most threes he has taken in the game since March 2023.
Okay.
So that was last year. Okay. And that was by far, you know, last year he took 9 in the game. That was by far his season high.
Okay.
So it was just interesting to see. And I think you want him taking those shots as well. Denver just needs guys to knock down some shots to open things up. It's just, again, this is where I get concerned with Denver is Minnesota has guys that are so long that take up so much of the court with their wingspan. They rotate well. They're versatile, that the paint gets a little more clogged up than usual. There's not as much space to work with.
Minnesota's ability to navigate screens too. And that's what, you're exactly right. Everything becomes difficult. I mean, we're looking at this game and some of these plays that are being made, even if they were just questionable, like questionable decisions, like why would you lob that? Why would you do this? And you had mentioned, I think it's just the pure disruption of this Wolves defense, and it doesn't matter, like you said, if it's near the rim, if it's on the perimeter, if it's trying to screen somebody, they are so active, they are there. There was a play where Jokic was going down middle. I think Naz Reid had left him, and Gobert wasn't committing to drop coverage, but also wasn't committing to Jokic, and Jokic was like, well, I'm going to lob this up to Aaron Gordon. Rudy Gobert read it. He knocked it out of bounds.
That's a big play.
Yes, and I just felt like Jokic, even in that moment, why are you attempting 9 threes when that was a nice little floater for you? We've seen you make that multiple times. He made that in this game, even so. So, yeah, just some of those decisions, I'm curious if that was a little bit fatigue for the Denver Nuggets as well. But either way, the defense disrupted his game.
I think one of the most exciting things about this playoffs, especially in the second round, are the matchups. I love me some T-Wolves Nuggets. Yeah. That's a fun matchup. I can't wait for Mavs Thunder. And then the East, it's this one. Pacers and Knicks, game one at Madison Square Garden coming up on Monday night.
What makes you so excited about this?
It's just this.
Anything Knicks right now, I'm all for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the clash of styles, right?
Oh.
I mean, the Pacers want to get up and down the floor. They want to run. The Knicks, they want to control the pace. They want to play tough. They want to control the glass. They want to play good defense and let their defense create their offense. I'm really eager to see what it looks like. My first thought on this series is like, I just like the Knicks in it. To me, they've got the level of toughness. And I think at this point, it's easy to say they've got the best player in the series going into it.
Jalen Brunson
has been an absolute dog.
Yes, dog. I mean, it's as easy as that. And I think when you do look at having that person set the tone for your team, in your team that has a very locked in identity all season long, and you've only elevated it the more and more you've played together, this Knicks team with him leading it, I'm there. I'm with you. And I think, too, because you look at the Pacers and you've seen the changes over time. You've seen Tyrese Halliburton's ups and downs in the season. You go, what kind of Pacers team are you going to get? And when they are playing well together, things can get scary, too.
Well, the one thing we know that they can do is off miss shots. They can get out and run, right? And the transition game is everything, because then you get the cross matches, Halliburton in transition with his passing. If he can knock down some shots in this series, would be huge. If the Pacers get stuck in the half court, it's going to be problematic. Sure. But they have enough weapons, right, with the shooting that they can have at times with Halliburton. Miles Turner's been really good in the playoffs. I just don't know how much to pull from that Bucks-Pacers first-round series, just because the Bucks were so weird. No Dame for most of it. No Giannis. It was just a weird setup.
Yeah, and by the way, I still felt like the Bucks team as a whole could have been good enough.
I mean, this series went still in six, right?
And I just feel like that was a team that didn't have leadership. And it's not just because their main guys in their health. It's also like, how are they acting on the bench? How are they contributing just even on the bench with their leadership or their energy or anything? And yeah, so it was definitely weird. And the Pacers got shit done and they did what they needed to do. And I felt like a lot of guys contributed to the success of the Pacers in that series.
Obi Toppin had a big game six. TJ McConnell was massive. And that's one area in this series that I think could sway things a little bit for the Pacers is just their bench play. I think that they can have a little more punch off the bench where, you know, Tom Thibodeau has been playing seven guys. Does he dip more into the bench and go, hey, we got to play Alec Burks a little bit. We got to play Precious Achiuwa a little bit in this series because this Pacers team wants to push the pace. Now, I'm very curious with some of the matchups too. I think it's going to be fun to see OG go head-to-head with his former teammate, Pascal Siakam. These two are probably going to be guarding each other. But OG can also defend multiple positions. So I'm like, there's a part of me that gets a little concerned with Miles Turner and Hartenstein trying to defend him because of Turner's ability to hit the three.
Okay.
Like, do you put Hartenstein on a different matchup and maybe, I don't know, put OG on to Turner at times?
It's interesting. I don't think that's like a completely irrational thing to put out there. And I'm sure Tibbs will absolutely make any adjustment that he needs to make. I mean, how many times did we see that in the last series when Hartenstein wasn't even on the floor and they went with a smaller lineup with OG on the big and it worked. It screwed with the Sixers and what they were trying to do with their game. So yeah, if you see that, fine. But OG on Pascal, like that's, you got to start there.
Yeah.
That's where you go and you got to irritate the hell out of Siakam and slow down the way, like you said, slow down their game. Slow down, put them in that half court offense so they have to think a little bit more. And this is a team already that we've talked about that has the identity of a fast paced team. How many times when we were looking at the Sacramento Kings last year and they were the fastest team in the league and it was like push, push, push the ball. And if anyone starts slowing them down, it just took them out of their game.
With the Pacers, who's going to check Jalen Brunson? I imagine like if you go back to the regular season, you had Nembhard on him at times. You had Aaron Nesmith on him. But Brunson still put up numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the challenge. It's just like, this is what Brunson's doing. It doesn't really seem like it has mattered who teams have put on him. He's playing like one of the best players in the game. He has such great patience and can get to his spots. And you know that the Pacers can give up some points in the paint. I wonder if they're going to make sure, like, almost overplay the paint a little bit and force others to be like, hey, we're going to force Josh Hart to make threes. We're going to force DiVincenzo. We'd rather those guys knock down shots than Brunson kill us.
Yeah. And do you think that the Pacers defense can actually manage that? And I asked that.
They've had some better moments.
They have, Jalen Brunson gets what Jalen Brunson wants. And I think that's been one of the most fascinating things about his game, not only throughout this entire season, but then you saw it in that matchup in the postseason, right? So he's doing it on the biggest stage now where he's still able to get to his spots. Teams know where he wants to get. So when I look at this roster and I go, okay, you think about Nembhard. That's a tough guy. He'll be physical with him, but is physicality actually going to take Jalen Brunson out of his game? I think he's used to physicality. I think it's not going to rattle him. He can still stay composed, but you're exactly right. If you slow him down, then other guys are just going to have to make sure to make their shots on some of those spray three opportunities.
Now, the other thing, too, is they have to make Tyrese Halliburton work defensively.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an issue for the Pacers in this series is, you know, Halliburton's defense has not improved really at all since being in the NBA. He plays the passing lanes well, but teams are going to go at him. This is when he takes the next step as a player, it's going to be because his defense gets elevated a little bit and he's able to break down his man a little more on the offensive end. But if you're the Knicks, that has to be like, hey, we got to target him. We have to go at him.
Because I would like to see how the Pacers are going to play. Are they going to switch everything? If that's what they're doing, then obviously that's who you would target on the Pacers roster. I mean, when they're playing defense. So, yeah, I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm sure he'll be fine and figure it out. Like, he is one of their best players. He will be staying out there on the floor, whether they are seeking him out or not. So the Pacers, Rick Carlisle will just have to make those adjustments. I mean, I doubt it's going to be like, all right, we're automatically going to go into a zone. It will be something as simple as, like, we're not switching that shit. Stop switching that shit. Like, they're looking for Haliburton on the defense end.
Well, I think the key in this series is going to come down to rebounding. When the Knicks are so good on the offensive glass, creating the second chance opportunities, those are just soul sucking. And just rebounding in general, because that's the other thing. Although the Knicks want to slow down the pace, we've seen it this year. Josh Hart is one of the best transition players in the league.
So good.
When he can get out and go, it's a problem big time.
He just turned on the Jets. He weaves. He gets there. Yep. And even if he's getting there and it's too late, he finds a way to make that pass to the open man, whether they're trailing all the way down into the paint or they're trailing for three. Like, he is just such a fast – he plays very fast, but he's played more and more under control, especially under Tibbs.
My gut going into the series, I'm taking the Knicks in six. Okay. I think the Pacers are tough enough. I think that – they've seen some different types of environment that they'll be able to win a game or two here. But I think playing at Madison Square Garden is just a different level. Those lights are bright there. The atmosphere is going to be absurd.
That's for
They've
sure.
got the home court advantage. Yeah. And I also think the Pacers aren't necessarily like ready for this yet. And it's fine. Like, they don't have to be. This is the start of their journey, and for them to just be in the second round and get this experience, huge, get these reps. Like, Siakam's got experience in the postseason, but a lot of their young guys, they just don't have it. So Haliburton, getting these moments in big spots where your games are on TNT, you know, they're on national TV, you're playing at Madison Square Garden, you're playing against a team that's tough and plays awesome defense. If I'm a Pacers fan, of course you want your team to win. But this can just be so valuable just to get this experience too.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, now you're going in the second round of playoffs. You said goodbye to the Bucks.
Yep.
And I know you're automatically taking the Knicks and six in the series. I think it's going to be interesting because if Tyrese Haliburton can play like the star player he was playing like in the beginning of the season before he ended up having that injury.
Yeah.
Ever since that injury, shooting has been up and down. And then we're finally like, oh, he's getting better. And then you'd still see moments where it's like, well, he's not there. He's invisible on the defensive end. You know, so like, what kind of Tyrese Haliburton can you get in this series? And if he's knocking down all those shots, those big momentum plays, well, we're going to have a fun little series.
And that's what I'm saying is like, the Knicks will miss shots.
Yeah.
That's why rebounding is huge.
So
if the Pacers are getting rebounds and going, and we've seen it with the second unit too. I love some of the energy. One, Tyrese when on the run. Siakam likes running the floor. Toppin likes running the floor. Toppin facing his former team too.
Oh, yes.
You know, a little more juice there for him. McConnell has had impacts in series. So like,
absolutely.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun one. You know, I think most people are like, oh, this is going to be an easy series for the Knicks.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be compelling. I
am with you. I'm totally with you on that. I think it's also going to be compelling. I think you have some competitors out there on both squads. Like, both squads to me, when I look at their rosters and I look at the personalities there, I'm like, there's so much heart. There's two guys in Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Haliburton that play with so much goddamn joy, and that alone will make this series so fun to watch.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, buckle up. This series is going to be a fun one, too. Dallas, OKC. I feel like we haven't seen OKC play a basketball game in like 7 weeks.
It's been about that long.
They've been chilling.
I know.
And now they get to take on Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic in a series, Mavs and Thunder.
The best looking Kyrie and Luka. Well, at least Kyrie for sure right now. But I would even look at this Dallas team. You're probably playing this Dallas team when they're playing their best basketball together.
They are, but there are some question marks kind of looming. Ooh. I think the good news for Dallas, let's just start with the good news.
Okay.
Luka is going to get rest because game one isn't until Tuesday.
Yep.
And that's huge for him. Obviously, the knee has been an issue.
Yeah.
And his shooting hasn't been great. I think they need Luka to be more efficient in this series. They're going to need him in a large way. And this Mavs team has lost Maxi Kleber. He is not going to be playing in this series. That's after huge. Taking that hard fall, hurting his shoulder. So he's not playing, which kind of changes things, right? Like, he's done some nice things defensively for the Mavs this year. He's able to space the floor in some of these lineups. Well, that's missing. Tim Hardaway is still kind of a question mark when he's returning after the ankle injury. So they are a little nicked up headed into this one.
Yeah, and you talk about can Luka be efficient? And I don't even think you're just talking about him, with the way he's attacking and making, you know, shots in the mid-range. It's like, no, can he knock down those threes, especially if he's getting better looks than he even was in that last series, right? And if he is, he's got to be able to knock it down for his team. I mean, there's just so many times where it felt like he was missing so many open threes. And it's going to happen. But the fact that it's happening in the postseason, there's just a lot that falls on him and Kyrie and their offensive abilities.
Yeah, and he's still able to put up some big numbers. You mentioned Kyrie Irving. Yeah. Kyrie is playing the best basketball in his career. He's doing on both ends too, and he's going to have to do it again in this series. There's a lot of compelling matchups. If you watch some of the OKC Dallas games this year, they're putting Lou Dort on Luka. And it makes a ton of sense just because Lou Dort is
hell out.
He is so strong.
Yep.
He could take the hits. Luka still put up big numbers against OKC regardless. And so that's the other challenge. This OKC team plays really good defense, one of the best defensive teams in the league this year. This is just going to be a different level against this Dallas squad. You know, the Pelicans, we know full well in Sacramento. Oh. The Pelicans, it doesn't matter who plays for them, they slap around the Kings. But the Pelicans were playing without Zion. And now this Thunder team gets, in my opinion, a bigger test. I mean, you're playing 100%. Kyrie and Luka, who are at another level. Mm-hmm. I think the size of the Mavs can give OKC problems now that you've got Gafford and Lively.
Yep.
You know, Lively had a big game against him earlier this year. Gafford, too, had some nice moments.
Girth and rim protection.
Yeah. So, you know, as I look up and down this series, you're looking at some of the matchups and you're thinking about, oh, man, what can SGA do in this series? Mm-hmm. Well, SGA is going to have an impact in this series. Jalen Williams got a lot of the assignment on Kyrie in the past. Kyrie, I'm curious what kind of assignment he takes in this series. Is he going to want the SGA assignment? The guy was defending Paul George last series. Like, he has been embracing some of these matchups. Uh-huh. He wants to take on James Harden sometimes. Will he want this matchup of taking on the longer SGA?
How fun is it that in some of these series that we are talking about right now in the NBA, we are talking about the best player of a team wanting to take on the best player of the other team. You know, we talked about Ant in this last game that we just saw against the Nuggets, you know, always wanting just to be on Jamal Murray and actually being able to lock him down at times. And now you're seeing this with Kyrie talking about his defense after that last series that they just played and him wanting to make sure that he becomes an elite defender and this two-way guy. So yeah, if that was the case, I would love the shit out of that matchup. Is there a way where he's actually slowing down SGA from not getting into the paint every single offensive possession.
That's why it's probably more likely they throw Derek Jones Jr. on him, right? And Derek
makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Yep. But one thing SGA can do, one of the best in the league, he drives more than anybody in the NBA. And because of that, he gets a lot of opportunities at the free throw line. He can get you into foul trouble. And that's where, if you're Dallas, that's an area of concern. Like, he starts getting some of these guys into foul trouble, and you're looking at your bench going, oh, we're down a couple of bodies too. It may change things for the Mavs rotation.
Absolutely. And that's, you're exactly right. How do you not get in that foul trouble? How do you make sure that you are available to play at all times? Because it's not only when you look at down the roster for Dallas and you go, okay, well, if you go too much further, whenever you have to rest guys, you are going to be missing out on something else, right? Especially with Luka, even if he's not being efficient with his shooting, he's still such a threat out there, right? He still poses as such an offensive threat, and he's still so good at moving the basketball around and seeing the entire floor.
The key for Dallas in this series, especially with no Kleba, and who knows about Tim Hardaway, who is streaky when he does play, but we've seen him get going before knockdown shots. Your other guys have to knock down shots. PJ Washington has to knock down threes in and this series. Derek Jones Jr. has to be somewhat of an offensive threat. And we saw these guys do that in the series. I know what they can do defensively, but they have to give them something offensively, especially with how OKC, they're going to fly. They switch everything defensively. They're going to fly around. They're going to make life challenging. You have to make sure those other guys can knock down shots. And I think the other key is just going to be watching the matchup with Chet taking on those bigs. You know, Chet, I love Chet's game. I think sometimes he struggles with the physicality a little bit. He's a rookie in the NBA. I get it. I just love this. I love it in the Mavericks' favor much more with Lively and Gafford. And I think Gafford, now that he doesn't have to deal with Zubac's big ass, I think that's favorable for Dallas.
Yeah, and I see that, but I also felt like down the stretch of the regular season too, Chet had been doing a better and better job against some of the bigs in this league. It didn't just have to be someone with a slim body that was a big. It was some of the girthier bigs out there that I felt like he was doing a better job. Like, okay, how do I make this into a turnaround jumper rather than try and meet them at the rim where I might not win that strength battle there? So I felt like he did a better job throughout the later part of the season making those adjustments. What is that going to look like here, though, against this Dallas Mavericks team that is playing such good defense together? I know we keep talking about Kyrie, but and you went down the line talking about some of the other guys.
Their defense has been great. It's been fantastic. And just
together, it's been so great. The way that they're moving, recovering, now, rotating.
One difference, right? I mean, we're watching in that Clippers series, especially when Kawhi went down. It's like, you know, Ty Lue's putting out like lineups at times late in that series that featured Westbrook, who you don't have to defend, who PJ Tucker, who you're going to play off of, play, like two non-shooters. OKC's got shooting. That's what they have. I mean, they literally can all shoot the three, and they're going to shoot the three. We've seen it, right? So that makes things a little more challenging for this Dallas defense, where you're not playing off Case and Wallace off the bench. You're not helping off Chet. You're going to have to guard, and you're going to have to contest, and the rotations have to be there. I think one thing that gets talked about so much with OKC is like, hey, are they ready yet? When I ask that question, I'm asking it more from like a personnel standpoint. Like, do they have the pieces necessary to make a deep run? Well, throughout the whole season, they've proven people wrong along the way. The one thing I don't doubt about OKC is their confidence.
Yeah.
They don't get rattled, dude. Mm-mm. They may be a young team, but you could see how together they are. They feed off that crowd in Oklahoma City, which is one of the best in the NBA, too. They're going to be fired up for the second round series. Like, I think they're going to be ready for this moment to compete.
Another team that vibes off of each other so well. And you're so right. They just, they look so connected out there. And not just like, oh, they all like each other. The chemistry's there. No, they look connected on a basketball level. Mm. Just on a whole different level of being able to know where the other one wants to cut, how they want to cut, where they would like the ball, all these little things. Their toughness is there. So when you have like an entire team that seems young enough, that seems tough enough, that can really bring it in this second round of the playoffs, no matter what kind of style we get from OKC against this Mavs team, I think it's going to be a a lot of fun. Do I say that about every series?
Yeah. Well, no. I'm sorry. You look at the final whatever games, right? The final four series, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Final
Good
four
job.
Series, right? For the most part, yeah. I'm like, I like them all, three of the four.
What's the one that you don't like?
I'm not totally excited about. I'm sorry. I'm not getting amped for Cavs Celtics.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like it's going to be much of a series. Sure. And maybe I'm being disrespectful to the Cavs. I just don't necessarily see. I think Boston's going to take care of business. But Pacers, Knicks, sign me up.
Yep.
Right? This T-Wolves Nuggets series, please. Already. And then this series, I'm having a hard time going. I talk myself into both teams. I'm like, I kind of like Dallas for these reasons. They go, but OKC has the shooting. They've got the confidence. They have an MVP candidate just like Luka. It's SGA. I think another swing guy in this series. Like, I think if OKC finds a way to win this series, we're going to be talking about, at the end of it, Jalen Williams, who finally, like, is maybe getting the... I feel like if you're a hardcore NBA fan, you're like, oh, of course, he's a stud. I mean, you're seeing it. Second year guy. But I don't think from a national recognition standpoint, he gets that attention yet. This could be his moment to really show the rest of the basketball world, like, hey, I'm a legit star here.
Yeah.
I'm a rising star in this league.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. I hope that's what happens because I love his game so much. I love the way that he plays basketball. And I think someone like SGA complements his game so well. Someone like Chet complements his game so well. And those two get talked about so much. You know, they're in that whatever commercial. Was that like a Verizon Wireless commercial? I don't even know what
the one
shit
that
it was.
The one that they play all the time?
That they play all the time. Yeah. Like, those are the two that are getting the recognition on OKC. And it's deserved. But what Jalen Williams has been able to do this entire season, and again, his body size in this day and age of the NBA, all the things. Yeah, on a different stage, maybe that will happen.
Dude, I can't wait for this series. Let us know in the comments below, what's your gut tell you about this series? Who has the edge? I've been reading Reddit. OKC fans are beyond confident.
Oh.
I read Mavs Reddit. Mavs fans are beyond confident. I don't know. I'm not even going to make a prediction. Morgan, it's not often I get excited for preseason basketball, right?
Yeah.
But this did not feel like a preseason game. WNBA edition, the Indiana Fever taking on the Dallas Wings in Dallas tonight. A close game down the stretch. The crowd was sold out. They were into it. Why? Caitlin Clark's WNBA debut tonight. She finished with 21 points in the game, 6 of 15, shooting 5 of 13 from 3, 4 of 5 from downtown. Had 16 points in the first half, but the Fever lost this game. Let's start with Caitlin Clark. Your first impressions of seeing her at the next level.
Composed, confident.
The same thing?
Looks like she belongs. The same exact, I mean, exactly, except now she even has better talent surrounding her, but now she has another challenge of veteran talent coming at her, of people being like, no, 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 young one, this is not your league. This is still our league. And you saw the physicality come through in this preseason game. And oh my God, did it make this one fun?
Yeah, especially in that second half. I mean, they were denying her. They were picking her up full court. Yeah. And that's the thing that makes defending her so challenging is like you have to be locked in because you fall asleep for a second, she's going to pop out, get freed up, get the ball, and make something happen. And she's not afraid to take the tough shot. Let's go back to her first half for a second. I was so impressed. I mean, it's stuff that we've seen, but again, we're talking about first preseason game in a new league.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be coming at her. One of my favorite plays in that first half where Natasha Howard, who's one of the best defenders in the league, right, gets switched out to her, is pushing her toward the midcourt line. Caitlin Clark doesn't panic, does a little cross left, little jab step, three ball, boom.
Her footwork, her quick little footwork right there. Because you're exactly right. When she was trying to push her middle, Caitlin Clark wants to go left. She loves shooting from that left side. It's just the way that her body flows, the momentum, it's just all in one motion. It's a great shot for her. I mean, sometimes it just becomes automatic. It's muscle memory. And in that moment, it was. She still got to her spot there. And then there's other moments throughout even that first half where she was still getting to her spot, getting to her side. It's almost like you're shocked when she is missing shots. Now, she was 5 of 13 from 3-point
land. She let it fly tonight, but that's not bad.
And you're seeing, though, that's going to be so much of her identity. It's almost like, I mean, obviously, it's not, you're not trying to compare early on, but it's like, hey, a Steph Curry 3 isn't a bad 3. And this is a rookie in the WNBA where it doesn't matter where it is on the floor, it can be far out there. It is a good three for her for the most part.
I think the other thing, big picture wise, for the Fever too, is you just see immediately what that two man game could be with her and Aaliyah Boston. Obviously, Boston's a tremendous young talent in this league, but you saw the potential with those two. And, you know, Boston can finish inside, but it also, she draws so much attention, then Caitlin Clark can get the mid-range shot, and then those two can work out. But there was one play where she found Boston on the short roll, then kicked out to a teammate for a score. So that could be lethal
the
this year for them.
The two-man game is going to be so fun to watch. And I think first preseason game for Caitlin Clark. But what you would see from her is, okay, I took this shot. I missed it. My teammate got a second chance opportunity. I'm going to make sure to get my teammate involved in this next one. And if it was Aaliyah Boston setting that pick on her, that two-man game, she was going to make sure to find a way to be patient, get that ball inside to Aaliyah Boston. Yeah, I mean, it's her passing ability is beautiful, and I think it's just going to become more and more elevated as they start to build chemistry.
And it's going to be interesting, too, to see because, you know, like, this is one preseason game. You saw the intensity. But, like, dude, I think other players, they may respect her, and they may respect what she means to the game.
Sure.
But they're also like, hey, like, we've been in this league for a minute.
Yep.
Like, we're here, and we're good, too. She is going to be bumped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to try to go at her. I think this is just part of it. But the thing with her that you even noticed tonight, like, she hasn't backed down. She was talking smack back. Like, it was good.
And one of the people that were getting straight up into her that then ended up hitting a game winner at the end was Arike Ogunbowale. And she...
Dog.
Straight dog. Last year, I did one game sidelines for the Dallas Winks and met her. And the first thing I said to Deuce is, I'm just intimidated by her. Like, the way she carries herself, it's like she has so much swagger. She has so much confidence in herself on and off the floor. And then you see on the floor on the defensive end just getting up and people getting up and Caitlin Clark being physical as hell.
Yep.
And then on the offensive end, holy shit there at the end, knocking down some big mid-range shots and then a three-pointer to end it.
Like, we've said 800 times, it's preseason, right? So, but this didn't feel like a preseason game. It was a tight game. The main people were playing some heavy minutes in this one. That three she hit late. The crossover.
The hezzy. Crossover back. Just getting the defender off of her and creating that space and still not even having that much space. That's what's so amazing about Arike is the way that she is able to shoot with the hand in her face. A contested shot, it doesn't matter if it's in the mid-range, she can create as much as she wants for herself. I mean, we saw her go baseline and she's floating away and hitting that baseline jumper. You and I saw in the background, you see a ambassador or security guard just going pop. Like, they just know her form is so pure. You see what she's able to do with her handles. Beautiful.
Three-time All-Star. She's legit. One other note from this game. Dallas Wings side. Jaylen Brown. Gonna be honest, had no idea who Jaylen Brown was before this game.
And no, we're not talking about Celtics, Jaylen Brown.
They both went to Cal, though.
I know!
So, Jaylen Brown, who went to Cal, graduated, 2020. Mm-hmm. She's been playing overseas. I guess she's dealt with injuries. Signs a deal with Dallas. Gets an opportunity in this one. And she comes out 21 points, 5 rebounds in this game. Yep. She's knocking down open threes, but I was impressed with some of the shot making she had in the mid-range. We're talking about tough, contested shots from her.
Yep, contested. I mean, another player hand in her face, and she was able to make some of these tough shots. And even when she was out there, first when I saw her have that good first half, because I didn't know exactly who she was, Cheryl Swoops started talking on the broadcast about how, oh yeah, she's going to make this roster, right? Because she signed a training camp deal. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is just a good game from her. What are we seeing? Then you just see it throughout her 30 minutes of play. Like, oh, she belongs. She's a rookie in this league at 25 years old. She belongs.
She has the experience playing overseas too.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a fun weekend of basketball. And now I'm really excited about the second round getting started. Give us your final thoughts, Morgan.
Final thoughts is, let's see, just keep watching, because as soon as the NBA playoffs are over, we all go, no, oh my gosh, it's so sad. But guess what? The people that say basketball is over it's not over because the WNBA season is gonna be killer this season. I think this is the year for anyone that has ever had pushback or anything. Make sure that you are tuning in. Adopt a new team.
Yeah.
Maybe the Las Vegas Aces. Maybe it's Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Whoever it is, just enjoy basketball because it is there. It is being played on the highest level. Although I know we'll all still miss some NBA playoff basketball.
Hey, Morgan, I got a question.
Oh, is this your weird kid voice?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a question. But why should I watch games if my Kings are playing? Oh, why do I have to watch games? I don't want to.
You don't have to. You don't have to. The fun.
No, you have to, because we need to know what these teams are doing that the Kings aren't, or you need to learn. And the greats of the greats are playing right now. I think my final thought.
Me.
I know, but I interrupted. I have something to say, kid. My final thought on this is, you know, it definitely feels like we're passing the torch now, right? Steph Curry's not in the playoffs. Uh-huh. LeBron's out. KD. We're talking about Anthony Edwards. Hell, even before Banchero got eliminated, Banchero, he was 21 years old. Think about if Orlando gives him some help and they get shooting around and playmaking. The young talent in this league, Tyrese Haliburton, Jalen Brunson, the list, we can keep going up and down the list with these.
SGA.
Luka, I know Kyrie's like the older guy now, but
he's playing his best basketball that we've seen in a long time, and there hasn't even been drama surrounding that.
And I think what's been really fun is we keep talking about some of these really talented players who are bringing it on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't know, I've enjoyed the compete level of these playoffs, so let's enjoy it together. We'll be dropping podcasts, of course, all off season long, so make sure you drop us a 5-star review. If you have any questions or comments that you want to throw our way, hit us up, deuceandmo@gmail.com. We love you guys, but we got to go.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.